Ever wonder the true power of sports? Well, you come to the right place. Welcome to the Sports for Social Impact podcast. I'm David Thibodeau, and I believe that by exploring the intersection between sport and society, we can better leverage the sport industry for maximum impact. We explore what sport's true power is to understand the impacts on and the impacts of sports on society. Join me as we learn how sports can influence important policy areas such as the environment, transportation, education, and so much more. Welcome to another episode of the Sports for Social Impact podcast. So today's going to be another solo episode. So going off of the success for the COP27 episode that we did in November after I got back from Sharm el-Sheikh. So just going off of that again. But so this one's going to be all about the Canada Winter Games 2023 that are taking place or just took place in Prince Edward Island. So before we get to that, I just wanted to draw everyone's attention to two opportunities that are happening right now in sport. So the first one is from the International Olympic Committee, and it's called the IOC Climate Action Awards. Everyone, you have to apply by March 31st, 2023. For the chance to win some prizes. So this is a new initiative designed to celebrate and support the efforts of athletes that are tackling climate change. And it was developed with three of the Olympic partners. Now, there are three different categories for this awards. There's the climate action and sustainable travel. There's the climate action and innovation. And there's the climate action and athlete advocacy. So definitely go check this out if you're if you're doing work in this space, so sustainable travel, innovation, and athlete advocacy. I will say that you have to be an Olympian or Paralympian, but you can apply to more than one. So definitely go check that out. The second one it relates to actually some news that we shared before on the podcast. If you remember going back to December, COP15, the biodiversity conference, there was an announcement about sport and nature and sport and biodiversity. So this relates to that. So this is powered by Sails of Change and is partnered with Think Sport and Sustainable Mountain Alliance and the Sustainable Sport Lab. And they've announced the Sports for Nature Challenge. Now this looks at, they're looking for innovative solutions that promote and enhance biodiversity conservation with an actual or potential link with sport. So there's three different themes. There are the campaigns that promote biodiversity, protection, increase knowledge, and help enforce legal and statutory biodiversity requirements. There's infrastructure, including architecture and infrastructure that integrate biodiversity protection. So there's some examples listed: recovering rainwater, reduce wastewater, building green rooftops, drainage systems, using plants and microorganisms to enhance soil fertility and recover contaminated soils. And then there's technology. So including the application and promotion of digital solutions for the biodiversity conservation and the use of satellite data and artificial intelligence for biodiversity protection. So sport organizations, startups, and established companies, not-for-profit organizations, academic and public institutions, and other stakeholders have until the 14th of March, 2023 to submit their solutions for the sport ecosystem within those three categories. So, there's a little bit of a process, and then the 10 finalists, the 10 best proposals will be selected and invited to continue the training and prepare them for a final pitch at The Spot. I'm not entirely sure what The Spot stands for, but it's in all caps on the website. So definitely go read a bit more about it. All the links to both of these opportunities are in the show notes. I just got back from Prince Edward Island, where they were hosting the 2023 Canada Winter Games. I attended as a member of the board of directors, and this was my first time attending the game since 2013 when I went as an athlete. So I, you know, as I'm sure everybody knows, I hosted Kellyanne Paul, this president and CEO of the Canada Games Council, back in July to talk about the future of sport events. So if you want to learn a little bit more about the Canada Games, definitely go listen to that episode and, you know, the strategic priorities that will be taking place over the next couple of years. So go listen to that episode. I will give a couple of highlights and background on the Canada Games just before we really get into the meat of this episode. So the Canada Games started in 1967 in Quebec City. I believe it was for a centennial, Canada centennial celebration, since it was in 1967. And this was, that was Canada's 100th year of being a country. The Prince Edward Island is the 29th, or, the, you know, 2023 Prince Edward Island is the 29th edition of the Games. And it's the third time that the island has hosted. It alternates between summer and winter every 2 years. And it tries to, you know, balance hosting jurisdictions between Eastern Canada, Western Canada, and Northern Canada, you know, between large and small jurisdictions. So Prince Edward Island is the smallest province. And I think that really came through in, you know, the opening ceremonies and the events of, and, you know, the way that they held hosted the Canada Games. Obviously, they are still going on right now. It's, you know, only the end of week one, so there's a whole week two to have to take place. But I just think that the whole atmosphere of the games just felt more intimate. I think it was really awesome, you know, to experience, and I'll talk a little bit about that. But I think you could really tell that the province was taking ownership, and the people of the province, the residents, were taking ownership over the games. So the host society needed 5,000 volunteers to make the games happen. They surpassed this by a lot. There was over 6,000 people who signed up to be part of these games. So they needed to start making a wait list. So I think that really shows, you know, people's commitments and people's love of these games. I was also able to talk to many of these volunteers, nowhere close to 5,000, but I was able to talk to a lot of them. Some of them had volunteered at every single games that Prince Edward Island has hosted. So 1991, 2009, and 2023. Some of them have had children and grandchildren compete at the games in the past, and some of them are competing right now. Across the whole province, so the whole island, schools were shut down for 2 weeks. So, you know, they traditionally have their March break, but the government extended it to make it 2 weeks long so that everybody could participate in the games as much as they could. So I think, you know, there's just a couple of examples of how, you know, it was making it a little bit more intimate, making it a little bit more, I don't want to say small town vibes, but, making it a little bit more closer, you know, closer knit, for everyone to be a part of. So why the Canada Games? And what is the value of sporting events like this? Now, there's lots of answers. Definitely go listen to that episode with Kellyanne Paul last July. We talked about that question in depth. So I really just took out a couple of examples from my experience at the 2023 games to answer it myself. So the mission of Canada Games is, through the power of sport, we strengthen the fabric of Canada. Now, I think there's lots of different ways that this is being done, and I've sort of divided it up into different categories. So the first category is community building. And the first bullet point under that I have is volunteering. Right. So everyone knows, you know, volunteering in your community, it creates a better sense of belonging. It, you know, strengthens your community because you're giving back, you're participating in it, you're building up your community to make it a better place. So, you know, 6,000 people volunteered, right? There's a lot of community building happening there. I think another point is that the Canada Games connects athletes from all across Canada, sharing common values and culture. Canadians are notorious for not traveling within our own country. And I think that this helps address this a little bit, right? So people from British Columbia on the West Coast traveling all the way to the other side of the country to Prince Edward Island on the East Coast to participate in the games. So I think it helps, create a better sense of national unity, a national identity, it really brings Canadians closer together, especially those who experience the games for themselves in person. I'm going to move on to the next category and sort of tie it back into community building. So the next category that I have is infrastructure. So the first night that I was in Prince Edward Island, I went to the opening of a brand new ice rink. So this was in a small community, and it is now the only Olympic size rink in the entire province. So on the whole island, it's the only Olympic size rink. And it is only one of three, I believe, in Atlantic Canada that is an Olympic size. So the opening night, there was, an open skate for the residents to take part of, to, experience the new facility. And there were so many people who turned out. It was incredible. It was incredible to see, how people were so excited about this new facility to be there. I think it's really, really cool that the community, was so passionate about it. Now, there are obviously, tying it back to community building, this new facility is a community space, right? It's where the community can gather, where they can be healthy, where they can hold community events, strengthening ties with each other, strengthening ties with their community, with their local community itself, with the province as a whole. It builds the sport capacity of the province, and also builds the sport capacity of all of Atlantic Canada and the whole nation by that. I think that this infrastructure is also good because, it helps create new jobs in the community. I believe that there's also going, need maintenance and administration to run this facility. And I believe that they're also, there's also going to be a hockey school associated with this new facility. So, they'll need people to help run that. So I think, and then the next category that I have written down is leaders. So the Canada Games are building the next generation of leaders. So not just in high performance athletes, athletes who will go on to the Olympics or Paralympics, everything like that. But also community leaders. So just as an example, every Games, there are alumni who are inducted into the Hall of Honor. And this is just a celebration of, notable alumni, not just athletes, but also, coaches and community builders, who have participated in the Games and have done great things in their community. So this year, one of the inductees was Heather Morrison. She is Prince Edward Island's chief medical officer, so PEI's top doctor. She led the province's response to COVID-19 throughout the pandemic. So this is, a leader. I don't believe that she went on to the Olympics or Paralympics. But she, she led an entire province's response to a pandemic. That's incredible. Totally incredible. I think that the games also help promote culture. During the opening and closing ceremonies, they're able to, promote local artists and support local artists by sharing their music, by sharing their expression of self, which I think is incredible. I think there's a lot to be proud of. And one thing I think that, the Canada Games can do better is, talk about it more. I don't know if it's because Canadians are a little bit more humble than, we don't like to talk about ourselves too much, but I think we can talk about these things more. And you're specifically talking about these social legacies and the environmental legacies as well. So I couldn't find it anywhere on Prince Edward Island's host society, the website. But, so I had to go back into the briefing notes that we received from the host society. So hopefully I didn't do anything controversial, and hopefully I'm not sharing anything that's super secret. I think it's okay, but I just pulled out two examples of some of the environmental sustainability programs that they had in place for the games. So they had a program to deal with food waste, you know, to reduce food waste and then deal with the food waste after. And they also had programs in place for buying local, right? So buying produce and, working with local farmers to keep it local and support local businesses like that. So why aren't we talking about this? Why aren't we promoting this? Why aren't we, saying, look at what we're able to accomplish. Look at what we are able to do. I think infrastructure is a very easy thing to talk about. It's very tangible. You can see it being built. You can see it. You can go skate on the rink. But you don't necessarily see the things, you don't necessarily go to the farm where you get your food and, you don't necessarily see the whole thing. You just eat it and then it's gone. So maybe that's why, but yeah, I definitely think we can talk about our environmental and social legacies a little bit more. A couple of personal observations. I think it was amazing to be back at the games. Absolutely amazing. It's my 10th year of going as an athlete, and these are my second games. My first as on the board of directors. It is absolutely amazing. I met so many amazing and people and talked to a lot of Canadian sport leaders, and it was absolutely phenomenal to be there. It was nice to be able to see some different sports. When I went in 2013, I was at the pool all day, prelims for the morning and finals at night. And I think I maybe saw one baseball game during the whole time I was there. So it was nice to be able to go see squash, hockey, trampoline, freestyle aerials. I can't remember all the others, but there was a lot that I went to go see. So it was really awesome to be part of that. To end, I just want to say that, the games are still going on. So if you want to watch, you can live stream the games online. I've linked the website in the show notes. Definitely go check it out. There's a lot happening. To showcase, some of that social legacy that I'm talking about, I've included a little clip of the theme song for the 2022 Canada Summer Games that were held in Niagara this past summer. So the song is called Steel Heart by Posey. I've included a little taste of it, and I've linked it in the show notes. So I love how sport can promote and support art and culture and local artists like this through the games. So it's incredible. Have a listen, and that's it for me. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk with you next time.